Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello? Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining Blog Talk Radio, Accepted as I Am, radio show. I am Barbara White, your host, your guide, and hopefully inspiring you into a greater version of your already present magnificence today. Sorry for the little delay in getting on. My password wasn't working. You know how that happens sometimes on the computers. Seems like we have a password for everything, right? You know, password for our computer, passwords for our bank, passwords for our phones. And thank spirit, thank nature, thank the divinity of our own being that we don't need a password for our direct connection to the divine, right? No password required for that. Although some people believe there's a password, right? They believe there's some magic formula or some numbers they have to push or some code that they need, and that only certain people have that code. Some authority figure, some person who has been commissioned that has a greater connection to the universe than you do, to creation, to the divine. And so it is important that we look at those beliefs of where we have given that authority to other people, that we believe someone else has more of a direct connection than we do. Nothing wrong with taking advice, nothing wrong with receiving help and nurturance and wisdom from other people, for sure. It's why you're listening. It's why I go and have people hold space for me. And however, we also want to come from the place of our wholeness and our fullness, knowing that you possess within you all the good, all the love, all the beauty that the universe has to offer, that it's within you right now in this moment. So I invite you in this moment to take a few breaths. And what would those breaths feel like? Inviting the awareness that you have all those qualities of the universe already within you. Now, this is not some airy-fairy notion. This is not saying this is not naivete in saying that there's things that are awakening in your life. There are things that are growing in your life. I'm aware of that, and I'm sure you are too. Yet we know that if we can take one cell of your body, we can make a complete you, that we live in a universe that has the parts within the whole, that the parts have a complete representation of the whole. So I invite you in this moment to feel the wholeness and the fullness, to feel those divine qualities within your being. What would that breath feel like? What would the texture of that breath feel like? And as you invite that awareness that you have all those qualities within you, how would even the air smell? What would the smell of the air be? Notice how the breath is entering into your mouth through your nose. And lastly, I ask you to look at your posture. How would you be sitting? Or if you're listening to this lying down, how would your body position be? If you were aware, if you were even inviting, I'm not even asking you to be aware, but inviting that those qualities within you. Good. And notice that softens the grip on all those painful stories about why you're not good enough or what wrong people have done to you or why you need to do more or do less. All those shame attack stories disguised as trying to figure things out. You know, all those thoughts that you have that disguise, I'm going to figure this out, I'm going to figure that out. It's really just shame disguised as I can think of in the word right now is trying to figure things out. And being aware of when you're thinking or when you're doing that, trying to figure things out, are these thoughts bringing me peace? Is this bringing closer to that feeling I had a second ago, even for a moment of feeling the wholeness, feeling my direct connection? Are these thoughts leading me to that? Now, if you can have the mindfulness to catch that, right, you know, that's the trick. Sometimes you get so caught up in those thoughts that it might be an entire day or maybe a week before you go, oh, my gosh, I've been on a roller coaster, or not even a roller coaster, a rocket of thoughts. And they've taken me for quite a ride. And not even, so being aware that you're on that rocket, and then asking yourself if those thoughts, so that rocket ride is bringing you peace. You do have choice to step off. And, of course, choice comes from awareness. Choice is a function of awareness or acceptance. And a root of compassion is understanding that people don't have choice when they're not aware or they're not in acceptance. Which is why I'm such a big proponent and big have a huge passion for teaching people or guiding people through self-acceptance. Because I know until you realize that you're lacking nothing, that there's something within you beyond your stories, beyond what you think is wrong with you, if you can even entertain that there's something beautiful within you, until that step has been taken, then any of these attempts to try to, you know, this weekend transformation, you're going to fix yourself, or going to erase all or eradicate all your patterns in one day. Unless self-love is brought in there, it's just another attempt to fix your brokenness. And be careful of that. You know, what is your intention when you pick up that healing book, or even when you're listening to this radio show, Blog Talk Radio Show? Or, you know, it's more, my intention with this is more than that, too, to give you tools to really help your life, change your life. In fact, I know that each month I give you tools that can really help to bring you into greater self-love. And if you haven't already, please tell a friend about this show. Please pass on the word. Please help to spread self-love and acceptance into the planet. You never know. Maybe it is that one person that you tell that it's a life-changing thing that then has a trickle effect into a couple hundred other people from whatever that person learned or awakened to. So, yeah, even when you're listening to the show, just be aware that it's really, I'm reminding you of what you already know, reminding you that you're already lovable. You're already beautiful. That the good, the love, the prosperity that is in within you and around you, it's already there. And it's a yielding process that we begin with, that self-love process. It's a, you know, self-love has such an essence of yielding or surrender to it. And then in that yielding or that self-love, there's something that wants to emerge, something that wants to come forward. It's like when the seed finally yields to that dirt and the energy that wants to happen. First, there's a yielding, a letting go. You know, self-love has, it's not an action, really. Self-love and self-acceptance is more of a yielding, more of a softening. And then from that softening, something really powerful and almost, it seems like, violent occurs. The seed breaks through the wall. The little chickadee breaks through the edge of the shell. You know, but in our gotta get it done, gotta do it, action, industrial growth society, Western mind of more is better, consume, 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 you know, blah, blah, blah. But in that energy, we go right into the action. We don't take time for the yielding, the softening. We try to break through the shell, or we try to break through the edge of the seed into our next becoming. And an action without that yielding, you know, an action without that really letting go and getting clear, you're just going to create the same chaos in your life. It may work for a moment, right? You know, this new belief you've added onto another belief and you're doing all these affirmations but never really any letting go or opening prior to that. New positive thinking or I love herbs, I love positive thinking, a new herb or drug. It may work for a while. I get that. And it may be even the very thing that pulled you out of, like, killing yourself. And that I can see value in that for sure, because I certainly don't want you to do that. Your life, your heart is way too important for you to do that. You really do matter. You know, there's an energy or an angel. Every blade of grass has a little energy, little angel over it. And so over your head, you actually have an energy, whether you want to call it a Devi or an angel, that kisses you, that holds you, that has been assigned just to you, just to your precious heart. So that yielding, that letting go, that surrender, it's really important, that opening. You know, you just can't have the baby until there's the receiving, the opening, the implantation part of it, you know. But that does require us letting go of old ego structures. It requires us to forgive ourselves. It requires us to open. It requires us to let go. And gosh, wouldn't sometimes, even though you know that's what you need to be doing, but rather do anything than let go. Because it's scary. It's very scary. In fact, letting go, you know, the ego was designed to keep things from changing. The ego is your current mental structures. Your ego is the current perception of self. And your perception of self includes your beliefs, your thoughts, also just your societal roles. I am a man. I am a woman. I am a teacher. I am a father. I am a mother. You get the idea. So that's your ego, right? That's your ego structures. And your ego structures die or fall away. There's a death that happens. You know, so words like yielding, letting go, self-love, they're a lot prettier than death. But in some aspects, it kind of prepares you for the next opening when it's put in those words, right? Or in the Zen perspective, calling it the void, moving into the void. Where in a more Westerner perspective, we don't like the word void. We call it more of opening or expansion. But void is a place of great fertility. You know, void is where we are pregnant with the universe. So void is not a bad word. Although many would not appreciate me using that in a mentoring session or in a retreat. So we begin in that yielding. I circle back. We begin in that yielding. We begin in that opening together. So let's do that. Let's do that one more time. Let's come back to our breath. And I ask you to invite the awareness that all your needs are met right now, because within you is all the qualities, all the energy of creation. You are like a beautiful supercomputer with every program known to man, known beyond man, that can solve any solution. It just requires you to let that program, yield to that program and let it be activated. And to let it emerge in your life. A few more breaths. And again, notice your posture. How would you be sitting? How would you be standing or laying? Would your chest be a little bit more up? Would you have a smile on your face? There you go. Nice. So this weekend I had the Living In as Grace Holistic Retreat and Festival. Friday night we had the dance meditation technique with Michael Peters, and it went really, really well. Had a great group that showed up on Friday. So many amazing professional musicians showed up. Nick Ayers, Tatiana Thunberg, Jeremy Fuller, and all these people happen to be great healers as well. So just an amazing, it was just surreal. It was so beautiful. Out at my dad's retreat center out in Northville, it's, you know, people thought Northville, they thought the suburbs. It's actually between South Lyon and Northville. It's in the country. It's gorgeous, just gorgeous. People kept on going, wow, this is so beautiful. Wow, this land is so beautiful. I'm like, yeah, no. My dad's got a sweet deal here. I'm just so grateful for my dad to provide the space. It was really nice. So we had the dance, which is very healing, kind of like moving Tai Chi, and the music was amazing. And then I did Qigong at the end, and the flow was just, I was just grateful to be a part. You know, even people think that's funny when I say that, but I feel like I am a part of it. Even though I'm in front of the crowd and quote-unquote leading it, I really feel like I'm just a part of it. And so it was really nice, just really nice. And then Saturday and Sunday was a retreat, and we did some amazing work. The group just, man, they did some great deep dives, some really profound work. I had them do archetypes where I had them move, position each other, so groups of three position each other, so they actually had to move each other like clay, so like two people with one person. And rather than just thinking through these archetypes, they had to feel that position in their body. So it took it out of the mind and brought it right into the body, the nervous systems. They were able to connect to these beautiful 12 archetypes of the warrior, the sage, the caretaker, the lover, all these different sweet aspects of ourselves sometimes we don't get to explore. And then we went into, after that, perceived protector work. And that is that part of us, that wall that holds a story, a limiting belief, a pattern, and a hurt. And we carried the perceived protector work into the archetypes. It was a great alchemy. I was just tickled pink. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. What's emerging? So we carried that archetype and the perceived protector work into, we merged it, and I did soul constellation work. And what that is one person would pick one person that represents the light aspect of their archetype, then the dark aspect, and then their emotional body, their mental body, and then their spiritual body. So you have five people that one person picks, and then they will move as that person is processing. And it's just, everyone's like, wow, this is unreal. This is just, they couldn't believe. So as that person was witnessing, literally witnessing their soul, witnessing those parts, and the people that were playing those parts could feel what was going on for that one person. And what's amazed me over the years, I've probably done this process for about 10 years, the soul constellation, is that no matter a person's, you know, quote, you know, we all have judgments on this. Oh, other people are more psychic, more intuitive than me. People can, I mean, we're one energy. We're one heart, one love. We're one mind. There's one mind we're operating in. And we think our thoughts are so, you know, I think our thoughts and our stories and our patterns are so unique, but they're really not. And when somebody is playing the part, for instance, of the mental body, and the one person that was playing it, she said, my head's hot. And then the other person said that was actually a big medical problem I had for 8 years. So, you know, you see those kind of synchronicities happening and seeing that we are one energy and one mind. It's just amazing. And then Sunday we had a check-in that was great, a lot of openings and shifts. And then we did a little bit, not as much as I would like, of the nonviolent communication work, but I'm going to be covering that in the next retreat. And then we did an amazing process where we communicate with nature using a rock, and people got a lot out of that. In fact, people had such big openings at that. We were at the end of the retreat. I was like, okay. that was a little bit deeper than, it was amazing. It was really amazing. It was, I was really grateful for people's, because we spend probably 2 or 3 hours in the beginning of a retreat. I build the container and the connections to people, or the connections between people, and really get people to feel that sense of grounding, that sense of connection to the earth. And when we're really rooted, really grounded into our body and into the earth, and we tend to have more openings. You know, we got to go down to go up. And so Sunday morning, I had Rebecca Romijn do her amazing Feldenkrais and yoga, which really was nice. And then Sunday night, had the sound healing, and it was just great. It was, just felt like so renewed. Nick Ayers did that. He did flute, and then he did dulcimer, and then he did the healing bowls, the quartz healing bowls for each chakra, and then he did something else too. He had like played like six different instruments. Oh, and then he sang. It was amazing. And then Monday morning was a peace ceremonies with Tricia Cole and Mary Dixon, and that was really sweet, really nice. So we will be doing that again the 8th, 9th, and 10th of August. So I do have to keep the retreat to 18 people. So if you are interested in the August retreat, that's going to be the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And I am planning on having it in Northville again, so local. And I'm still keeping the cost very low. Most weekend retreats you would pay about $500 for. You may already know that. But I keep the cost around $230, $240, and that includes your food, your lodging. But we are roughing it a bit. You know, we are camping or we are staying in a dormitory style. So enough of that. Enough of the retreat. I was just grateful for the whole experience. I was going to check the date for you if you are interested. Yep, 8th, 9th, or 10th. Okay, those dates were correct. All right, so now we move into our next segment, our next part of this amazing journey that we're taking on this show, this little mini workshop that you have decided to gift yourself with. Invite you to do now is, again, coming back to your breath. And what I want to talk about is the whole representing the parts. So there's a great teacher of this, Joanna Macy, whose book that's becoming popular now, Act of Hope, How to Have Hope in These Crazy Times. Where's that book of mine? Yeah, something like that. But it's Joanna, JoannaMacy.net. And she really allows, you can go and go to her website and look at some of her material. And so I just want you to read one part of it called How Life Organizes. And I'll read a bit of this and then we'll do a meditation together on it. How's that sound? Sound good? All right. So from JoannaMacy.net. Instead of looking for How Life Organizes under Living Systems tab, if you happen to be in front of a computer and you want to look at it, instead of looking for basic building blocks, these life scientists took a new tact. They began to look at wholes instead of parts, at processes instead of substances. They discovered that the wholes, be they cells, bodies, ecosystems, or even the planet itself, are not just a heap of disjunct parts, but are dynamically organized and intricately balanced systems, interdependent in every moment, every function, every exchange of energy and information. They saw that each element is a part of a vaster pattern, a pattern that connects and evolves by discernible principles. The discernment of these principles give rise to a general living systems theory. By shifting their focus to relationships instead of separate entities, scientists made an amazing discovery, amazing at least to the mainstream Western mind. They discovered that nature itself is self-organizing. Or rather, assuming that to be the case, they set about discerning the principles by which this self-organization occurs. They found these principles or systems or properties to be awesomely elegant in their simplicity and inconsistency throughout the observable universe, so consistent with what they found in nature throughout the rest of the observable universe, from sub-organic to biological to ecological systems and mental and social systems as well. The properties of open systems, which permit the variety and intelligence of life to arise from interactive currents of matter and energy, are four in number. Now, what she doesn't mention here, which is interesting, is quantum physics, because quantum physics has also shown exactly that as well, that the part represents the whole, and that what you do to one part directly affects all the other parts of the whole. And they call that quantum entanglement, or you can also call that ties in with the zero-point field. So it's interesting that she does not mention that, but that, you know, can't cover everything in one article, even though I try to do that sometimes. All right, so I'm going to read those parts to you, the four parts. Each system from an atom to galaxy, oh, she does say atom, each system from an atom to galaxy is a whole. That means that it's not reducible to its components. Its distinctive nature and capacities derived from the interactive relationships between its parts. This interplay is synergistic, generating emergent properties and new possibilities which are not predictable from the character of its separate parts. Just as the wetness of water could not be predicted from the oxygen and hydrogen before they are combined, or just as the tensile strength of steel far exceeds the combined strengths of iron and nickel, this property of open systems challenges the universal equability of the second law of thermodynamics, the cornerstone of classical science in which rests of entropy, the running down of life. Okay, so what is she saying there? She's saying that, so the second law of thermodynamics is a theory in Newtonian physics that says everything is going into greater chaos. And then you had different philosophers like Nietzsche and Darwin that really supported that everything's in competition, everything's going to greater chaos, rah! Which kind of justified I'm going to get mine kind of mentality in our society. So you see this profundity of what she's saying here is that, so that example of water, right? So you couldn't predict what hydrogen and oxygen would become. You couldn't predict what the tensile strength of steel far exceeds the combined strengths of iron and nickel. So that the emergent properties or new possibilities when two elements came together. Now, don't we see that in life? Two or more gather in my name, right? So don't we see that in life, that this is a quantum principle? This is an open systems ecological principle. It's a societal principle that when two things come together, it creates something greater than what we can imagine, that things aren't going to greater and greater chaos, but things are going to greater and greater emergence, greater and greater possibilities, greater and greater good in your life, greater and greater joy in your life. That it's not about just getting old, your body deteriorates, and the good's already happened, and that there's so much. When you combine your energy with another, when you bring forth their gifts to the planet, when you show up for your life, which even that can be a huge accomplishment, just showing up in the day, showing up in your life, when you do that and you combine it with the energy, something wants to emerge in you, right? All right, so let's go to the second one. Despite continual flow through of matter, energy, and information, and indeed thanks to the flow through, open systems are capable to maintain their balance. They self-stabilize. By virtue of this capacity, which Fleissengleichenwicht, that's the name of his system, flux equilibrium. I think his name is Bertolini. Systems can self-regulate to compensate for changing conditions in their environment. This homeostatic function is performed by registering and monitoring the effects of their own behavior, like a thermostat. It is understood as a function of feedback, or negative or deviation, reducing feedback to be precise. This is how we maintain our body temperature, heel cut, or ride a bicycle. And so what she's saying there is that despite that your body is continually in flow, that like you're constantly interacting with your environment through energy, through water, through air, that your body maintains itself, despite the fact that your body replaces every cell, somebody will probably correct me on this, so I'm not going to have this exactly right, but every year it's like 90% of your body, and then it has to be like 7 years to get your entire nervous system replaced. So if we're replacing our body, or is it 3 years? I don't know, but you get the idea that we're replacing our body, but yet we still show up. Like your friends can still recognize you. If you were to go away for 3 years and come back, people would still recognize you, but you actually are a completely different body. A completely different body. So you have this flow-through system, that exists in nature and in our body, yet it maintains the integrity. So you see the balance again of being able to yield and surrender and open, yet it doesn't cause you to all of a sudden lose yourself or lose your body. You know, like the ego says, oh, hold so tight, hold so tight. Actually, what it causes you to do is to become that next version of yourself, but it's still you. It's actually more you. And so nature shows us to maintain, to actually maintain balance. You have to have a flow through of matter and energy and information. It actually helps you to, so you have to have a flow to maintain homeostasis or that balance, that rootedness. So you actually have to yield to be grounded. You have to surrender to stay strong. It's like in tree pose when you're on one leg. If you try to stand really, really, really rigid, incredibly rigid, you'll fall. And that when you sway or give a little bit of flexibility, you find more strength. And so it's that flexible strength that we're seeking to embody, not only in our life, but we see it in nature and in our relationships where we are trusting ourselves to maintain ourselves, autonomy, yet be in complete connection and open to the love that is before us. Remember, never forget, dear spirit, dear ones that are listening, that it's what we fear the most is love. What we fear the most is that deep, deep connection of how intimately we are loved by creation and really how incredibly loved. All that love that can show up as people if we allow it. And why are we so afraid of that love? Again, it's back to letting go of those ego structures. It is that simple, yet that complex. And so we see in nature, as we see in our bodies, that it's that yielding, that opening that helps us to maintain balance. You know, people are so rigid in their mind sometimes, not willing to look at their beliefs, afraid they're going to lose something. You know, what do you believe about your body? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about money or sex? And then can you just, for a moment, even let go of that belief? And then if it comes back to you, then it was meant to be there. It was an empowering belief. But if you let it go, you may receive an upboot. You may receive a new understanding. But many times people walk through the world, they walk through the life letting their unexamined beliefs run them. Letting their unexamined beliefs run them because they're so scared to even look at their beliefs because it's like a steel safety net around them. They believe it's a steel container protecting them, but ultimately it's suffocating them, right? They can't have that flow through of energy. And then they feel alone and they feel isolated and they begin to feel cynical, like no one loves them because they're not allowing it in. Their beautiful souls, their beautiful hearts are unwatered. And if you can't let it in because the belief structures are so intense, this is what I believe. Many folks who believe that they are open to spiritual work are actually just seeking to have their current beliefs validated. Think about that. So many people who are open to spiritual work or growth are just looking to have their current belief structures validated. And part of the intensity of my work, of what I bring to the planet in my retreats and in my sessions, is I, in a very gentle way, I get people to bring up those current beliefs and feel them and witness them. You know, using archetypes, using self-love. We did Qigong. We did practices in the nature. We did some play. I didn't mention the play we did. We do partner or dyad practices where people witness the magnificence and beauty in each other. And so all these processes, they bring that up. Very intense for people. Because part of my work, which is why it's so powerful and why people are so drawn to it, is because it really does set people free. And then it scares people, too. It really does scare people because it can be really intense. A lot of people were saying, I really want to run out of this room right now, but they knew that it was just their, you know, it really was their that next thing that was ready to release was coming up. And I was grateful that they communicated that to me, that you know, my mind's making up these reasons why I want to leave, but it's really, you know, they could see that there was there was the next thing that was coming, and sure, it did happen. You know, they stayed a little bit longer in the process, and whoa, what freedom came from that, what opening. So allowing life to flow through us, allowing ourselves to be receptive to new understanding, new insights, new ways of looking at ourselves and the world. You're not gonna lose yourself. In fact, your current perception of self you want to lose. The third in the open senses. So we're reading the open systems, or how life organizes about open systems. And Joanna Macy's the third element of that is third. Here we go. Open systems are not only maintain their balance amidst the flux, but also evolve in complexity. When challenges from their environment persist, they can fall apart or adapt by reorganizing themselves around new, more responsive norms. This, too, is a function of feedback, positive or deviation amplifying feedback, also called cybernetics too, is how we learn and how we evolved from the amoeba. But if our changing behaviors are not compatible with the challenges we face and do not achieve new balance with them, the positive feedback loop gets out of control and goes into runaway, leading eventually to systems breakdown. So listen to that. So when challenges from the environment persist, the system can fall apart or adapt by reorganizing itself around a new, more responsive norm. So this is ecology I'm reading to you. So these are eco. I mean, just think of the profundity of this. This is ecological principles. Do you see the spectacular? These are eco, and seeing how ecology. It's exactly what we are seeking to do. That if we can just listen to a forest, if we can just our damn house plants have it figured out. That the answers are there for you. That there is a way of, this has already been figured out for you is my point. That, you know, a lot of times when someone has an insight about something, I say, oh my God, in fact, there was a question somebody had asked this weekend, how do I love myself and have greater security in myself? And, you know, there's always a part of us that says we have to figure it out. Like, we gotta reinvent the wheel. Or how do I start this amazing new business and bring my purpose, my gift to the planet? And then it's remembering that that's already been figured out for you. The path has already been laid. The path is already there if we listen. Or at times ask for advice from people we know that have already done it. One of my friends, who's a great therapist, Tatiana Thunberg, she went and interviewed, before she started, she was already working as a psychologist for about 15, 16 years, no longer than that. And then she went and interviewed people who are already working and making great change on the planet before she started her business. That is so genius. That's actually how we met about 4 years ago now. I'm like, and I've actually modeled changed some of the things in my life of, wow, that is so smart. Like, go to people that are already doing it, ask to interview them, and then allow yourself to learn from that and take that in your life. I mean, rather than just trying to do it on your own. Which is a lot of course, why I mentor as well, because it's a lot of this stuff is already there for us. It's already figured out. If we listen and open up and trust our hearts, nature gives us an example, and there's, of course, as I'm saying, there's human beings that give us examples. I mean, there's so much good on this planet. There's so much good waiting for you today. There's so many great opportunities waiting for you if you will only open up and yield and let it flow to you and through you. There's so much magnificence waiting to be expressed through you and in you and as you. If you would only allow it to happen, even just let go a little bit. We had talked about this weekend about the Buddha, the example of picking up the hot coal 1,000 times. I think it might be 5,000. I'm never exact on numbers, as you can hear that. In fact, people were paying me for the retreat, and I forgot what it was. And some people, I think a few people gave me, underpaid me. I was like, at the end of the retreat, I'm like, oh, okay, that, you know what? I didn't even catch it, but, you know, they got a discount. Oops. Always learning. Next time, have somebody collect the money. Don't have Barbara do it. All right, so the fourth thing in Joanna Macy's work is every system is a holon, O-L-O-N. That is, it is both a whole in its own right, comprised of subsystems and simultaneously an integral part of larger systems. Thus, holons form nested hierarchies. Nested hierarchies, systems within systems, circuits within circuits, fields within fields. Each new holon level, say from atom to molecule, cell to organ, person to family, generates emergent properties that are non-reducible to the capacities of the separate components. I'm going to say that again and then I'm going to explain it. Say from atom to molecule, cell to organ, person to family, generates emergent properties that are non-reducible to the capacities of the separate components. So again, she's showing that when a cell decides to be part of that subsystem. So, for example, your liver, there's a bunch of cells that agreed to become livers, a liver tissue. But then why did other cells, when you were growing, became bone? And some became lung. So you have subsystems within a greater system. And yet that system, complete within itself in your body, a liver that does over 1,000 enzymatic reactions in a day, it's a miracle. Your liver's a miracle. That it can't be reduced, that it has to function in that system. And that we know in the body, when one cell decides to do its own thing, so to speak, you know, it's try to operate alone, what do we call that? We call that a cancer cell. And so in our society as well, when one person just tries to operate alone, you know, it's to your benefit to work with a mentor, to, like myself, to ask for help, to open up, to, I mean, that's wise, right? It's really wise. Because then you're working in that system, and then to begin to join a community and to function in that community of some sorts, whether you join a meditation group or you go to all the amazing, amazing spiritual gatherings that happen in this area. I don't know if you're aware of that, how many amazing spiritual gatherings. We have such a little mecca here in Michigan. Michigan is such an amazing state. Open the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide and look at the wealth of amazing people we have in Michigan. And we have it not just in Ann Arbor. We have it here in Plymouth. We have it in Northville. We have it in Canton. We have it out in Ferndale. We have these so many gatherings and meditations, and we have some amazing spiritual groups that are, or churches, you know, I don't know which one they want to call themselves. We have so much good, so much wealth in this area. And if we could just get over that's easier said than done, get over the cold and really realize there's so much good here, so much change happening, so much growth. I mean, what's happening in Detroit is just amazing, the urban farming and all the healing centers that are going out there and really leading the way for us of how to work in community more. You know, from the dark comes great light. The dark within ourselves, fear, doubt, worry, stories, is the fertilizer to our next expansion. So as finishing number four, far different than the hierarchies of control familiar to societies where rule is imposed from above. In nested hierarchies, sometimes called holonarchies, order tends to arise from the bottom up. The system self-generates from spontaneously adaptive cooperative between the parts. In mutual benefit, order and differentiation go hand in hand. Components diversifying as they coordinate roles and invent new responses. So again, the miracle of what you just said is that in nature as well in life, in nested hierarchies, that those parts, like our organs, right? It organizes from the bottom up. It's like our, if you've never heard this before, and when I use natural health to support people's spiritual shifts, it's like the colon is 70% of your immune system, and the large and small bowel, are they They are like the, you know, you got to go from bottom up. You got to help someone from bottom. Even your body has that model. So nature has that model. And in our society, it's that model, that it's really grassroots that really gives birth to new changes on the planet. That's why you are important. That's why your part is important. That's why your spiritual growth is so important. It's not going to be some big organization or some one person that's going to reach down and some superhero like Superman's going to come and save the planet. It's going to be you. You are your own hero. And it's going to be the nested hierarchies, meaning these subsystems within the greater system. If we just look at our body and how it functions, we realize that we are not separate from nature, that we come from the earth and we return back to the earth, and that our bodies are a great example of how society is beginning, like, and what's happening in Detroit, what happened in Cuba. If you've never looked at the story of Cuba when they lost their oil import and export, how they began to become more community-based, and people really had, each person had to step up into a role of what they were to serve. You know, it's like kind of the liver said, nah, I don't feel like working today. You know, I don't feel appreciated, and I'm not really important, and, you know, I'm kind of mad about when you abused me 15 years ago, and you put that, you know, you did too much tequila, and I'm really pissed off about that, so I'm not going to show up today. But we do that, right? We do that. And then we wonder why our life's not changing or why things are staying the same. So bless our little hearts. We need that. We got to remember that we all get off track for a while, and then we come back. And, you know, and the cool thing is, if you've been off track for a while, whether it be 30 years or 3 months, is then what happens is that quantum potential, that good, that system that's been waiting for you to participate in, it happens fast, baby. You begin to move because all that energy you've been putting on hold, you know, maybe you've been in a marriage that's been abusive for 40 years. Maybe you have been at a job you hate for 20 years and too scared to make a change. Or maybe you have known you've all these healing gifts, but you're afraid of opening your own business. And when you finally take that step, you know, you begin to step through the threshold. It's an entire course of angels that have been waiting for you. Or in putting it in the subsystems or the ecological model, it's like finally when that flower emerges, there's all this sunshine and all this forest waiting for it. So there is incredible, incredible good waiting for you. Incredible, incredible love waiting for you. And it requires your personal invitation. You know, that good, that joy, that greatness within you, it does also exist in all other beings on the planet, yes. And it is amazing. When you begin to feel a lot of people, when they begin to feel their greatness within them, I did this one. You know, they want to trademark it. Oh, you gotta laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. I certainly don't. Well, sometimes I do. I do that, but the work that I'm bringing into the planet is the universal. It's own unique song, but it's universal. Or people change their name, right? Which is nothing wrong with changing your name, but sometimes people do it in a way that is trying to deny their own current self. Or they get scared because they think this greatness is only within them, and they're afraid it's going to this gifts, or it's only going to it's going to separate them. They're going to be an island to themselves. Or the other story that I work with in retreats and sessions are, who am I to have this greatness in me, right? Who am I? But it's who are you not to? Who are you not to bring that forward? In fact, again, it's a function of who you are. It's not anything you've really created. It's a function. I mean, it's just like it's a function of the foot to hold us and stand. The foot doesn't go, oh, well, who am I to be a foot? Who am I to provide the stability for this body? I can't do this. This is too much. Oh, right? And so the foot providing support, that's the function of it. It just does that, right? It is. It's not personal. So for me, like, I don't feel it's personal that I have these gifts to help people spiritually awaken. It's not personal. It's just my function, my role in this nested hierarchy. And you have that same purpose. You have that same function. You have a very important function to bring to the planet. And that function, by the way, will not be something you can figure out from the beginning. You know, that's something, and I have quite a gift of, or quite a function, rather, and we're not using the word gift, quite a function of helping people to discover their purpose on the planet. And a lot of healers that are, everything from medical doctors to sound healers to therapists, well, healers that are emerging healers, tend to gravitate to this work that I do. And being able to know that that's just our function, you know, that you have a unique song to sing. And sometimes it may showing up as a healer in a light working as an accountant. That's just as important. You don't have to be, quote-unquote, a role of a healer to be an incredible healer on the planet. You know, many of us are disguised as different roles, but actually, and I've seen people that are, in fact, there's a lady that owns a tea shop in Plymouth. I can't think of her first name, but Coffee Bean and Leaf, or it's over by the bank. She does healing with every person when they need it. I sat in line one day, and this girl was just falling apart because her parents were not supporting her and what she wanted to do for school. And she, even though I was waiting, she took like about 10 minutes with her and completely transformed and helped this girl. I'm like, that is so cool. And I'll have to admit, I was a little impatient, but I was able to choose that to see that as cool rather than see the impatience. So you have something pretty amazing that wants to come forward today. Are you willing to let it out? And you have an incredible system of support that's waiting for you to open up to. And I know there's been times that you've reached out and you've gotten your hands smacked. I know. But sometimes I want you to take some accountability for that. Sometimes we recreate that, right? We end up asking subconsciously. I know, not consciously. We don't do things, you know, if we haven't been self-love and self-acceptance, we're not like, oh, yeah, I want to get my hands smacked when I ask for help. I want to, you know, be told to shut up or I'm too sensitive or whatever. But subconsciously, there's a pattern that we'll reach out to the very person that won't give us support. You know, we don't want to bother that other person. So we call the person, we reach out to the person that is not going to give us that support. Or rather than turning inward and maybe doing some meditation in the grass or by a tree and really reaching into our own being, our own divinity, we go ahead and we ask 15 different people for help. You know, there's a balance there of making sure you reach where you're going to be supported. You reach within, you reach into nature, you reach into God, and you consciously reach into people that, in the words of Brené Brown, have earned the right to, or you can feel, will be able to hold space for you. And if you don't have anyone like that in your life right now, it's beginning to open up to that, to ask, because it's there. And sometimes it's beginning to work with someone like me. Sometimes it's just putting that prayer of, you know, I need friends that are going to, there'll be an even flow of give and receive. Because a lot of people, there's a few people that will, you know, they'll be either one or the other role. They will be the one that gives all the time, you know, on the phone with their friends. Or the people that will really ask all the time for support.
2 minutes.
So we're working. Oh, thank you so much. So we do have about 3 minutes, and in this time, I just want to let you know that you can go to acceptedasiam.com and check out. I got a new website. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty nice. Jacqueline Matthews did that. So appreciative of her help. And I will be. Oh, Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is this weekend. Go online. I'll be doing a free Qigong class there. Qigong and meditation. It's an amazing event, community event, Metamorphosis. Please go online and check it out. It's near Ann Arbor. And also in August, I will be starting that monthly workshop again. I'll be co-creating it with Diane here, Raw Food, Self-Acceptance, and with Mary and Self-Love. So it's going to be a co-creative, amazing workshop once a month starting in August. All right, sweethearts, thank you so much for giving this gift to yourself. And thank you for having the courage to look within and love yourself. Wishing you much love and peace. Take care.